In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, my beloved, we have again the Sunday of the resurrection of the Lord, and we're celebrating our resurrection, and it's a great day. It's a great day if you believe. Of course, if you believe in the resurrection, our Lord has resurrected himself, and we know what happened today in the gospel. We heard that the Lord said a parable about the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man was feasting every day. He was having a good time and having a ball, as you might say. And in the meantime, right in the footsteps of his mansion laid Lazarus, who was a very poor man that was sick, that was all full of wounds, and he was just wishing and hoping that he can get the crumbs falling down from the table of that rich man. And yet even those things he wasn't being able to get. The dogs would be coming and picking it up. The only thing is, probably he's got good, is that the Lord says that the dogs came and they licked off his pus from his wounds. And that's the only kindness that he seemed to have received, not from human beings, but from dogs, my beloved. And then the Lord says, well, he dies. And as he dies, he's immediately taken by the angels to the Saint Abraham's bosom in the kingdom of heaven. And a little later, the rich man dies. And when rich man dies, he gets a fancy funeral. The Lord said that he gets a funeral. Lazarus didn't get any funeral. It just, his soul was taken to the heavens. But the man had a funeral. You can just imagine how probably pompous it was. But the next scene that the Lord says is that the rich man is in hell. And as he is suffering there, he was given a glimpse of the heaven of the Abraham's bosom, where he sees Abraham, recognizes it as Abraham, and he sees Lazarus over there. So he must have seen him, he must have known him here on earth to recognize him. And he says to Abraham, would you please send Lazarus to me so that he can quench my tongue, wet my tongue a little bit, because I'm burning so much I'm suffering so much here. And Abraham said, well, between us it's such a big space that we cannot come to your place, neither can you come to our place. And then Abraham, after he said that, so the rich man said, well, then please send Lazarus to my father's house, because I have five brothers over there that are living, and let them warn them, tell them not to live like that, so that they won't have to be coming to this place here, my beloved. Well, and Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, and they should be listening to them. And even if somebody is going to come be resurrected like Lazarus and comes and tells them something, they will not listen to it. Well, my beloved, this is what's happened to our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ has resurrected himself, had appeared to the first and mere-bearing women, and then to the apostles, and then to many other people here that appeared. It's written in the Gospels about his resurrection. And the soldiers that were guarding his tomb had saw it and knew about it. And the whole world knows about it and has read about it from the Gospels. And in the beginning, the witnesses were there. And my beloved, what happened? Most of the world does not accept it, about the life after death and about the resurrection, everybody's resurrection. And they're living in such a, what am I saying there? And we're living in such a way that we're just going to be in this earth, and we're trying to just live as comfortable as possible and without much caring about and preparing ourselves for the kingdom of heaven and to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Now the Lord, you know, said that the kingdom of heaven is in your heart. But are we able to find that kingdom of heaven in our heart? Well, we could if we would follow the example of what the Lord has tells us and live according to the gospel. If we believe those things that is said in the gospel, and if we would cleanse our heart and not have the heart tied up with all kinds of things that were temporary and not really caring about life after death. You know, my beloved, so it is so, or if it is utmost importance that we believe that there is life after death. If we do not believe it, then all our faith, even in God and everything else, it's worthless. If we don't believe that there is life after death, we're not going to work hard to be able to make it, to go there. And yet the Lord says the kingdom of heaven is taken by force, and only those who exert themselves are going to make it. Well, my beloved, what kind of a life that we see in the world today, most of them, again, most of it is striving to try to meet, have the ends meet, but actually to try to live as comfortable as possible. But the Lord is so merciful. The Lord helps us so much. And He knows that because of our heart is tied up, especially from our youth on, from as we become babies, too many times the parents teach us immediately how to pamper ourselves, how to look after our will, to fulfill our will, and to try to be as living as comfortable as possible. And they're doing everything to have the babies living like that. We didn't get a Spartanian type of upbringing where they're always being trying to be pampered, my beloved. And we learn this way, and then we grow up and we feel the oats, and we start again striving to attain something, to be something, to make something out of ourselves. And we just forget about the kingdom of heaven. We forget about what the Lord had taught us. And what He says, look for the kingdom of heaven first, and everything else will be given to you. Well, the truth is that the Lord does take care of everything and everybody. He sustains everybody's life. And do we have the true acknowledgement of that? Do we acknowledge that He is everywhere present and fills all things and He sustains our life? Too many times we just lose sight of the Lord and we have no concern about Him, and we have no concern about how to cleanse our heart to make it and start working to make it in the kingdom of heaven. But of course, we have an examples of the saints that have totally lived different. Today we're celebrating the Saint God-bearing Father Euarion the Great. If we would only try to read or listen to his life, to the saint's life, we'll be amazed what he went through and how he in the childhood already he started to understand that he is still going to be looking for the kingdom of heaven, to adhere himself to God instead of adhering himself with his heart to all kinds of things, the pleasures of this world. He had fought. No, truly he had fought the flesh and blood, but not anybody else's, his own. He had fought the flesh and blood to make sure that the body doesn't start to order around the soul, and that the body would be controlled by the soul and by the teachings of the gospel. And he has done that. And then after he has done that, he has been given the power eventually to have the power of the enemy, because once he controlled his body, then the enemy started to attack him. What kind of a terrible attacks that he had. He has followed the example of Saint Anthony, the God-bearing father, the great. It was his ideal. He was following in his footsteps. And Saint Anthony went into a sepulchre and lived there and fought the enemy. And so did Saint Ivarion. He had made a little place like a sepulchre where he had placed himself, where he could hardly move in there. And he was attacked in all kinds of ways by the demons. And of course you say, well, again, Father, are there such things as demons? Yes, my beloved, sure are. And anybody that lives in the family, they have to know that the evil one hides all the time behind our loved ones. Did anybody ever get angry? Did anybody have a fight with his spouses or with his children or with those whom they live with? Do they have bad feelings and so on? All that comes from the evil one. And we are not supposed to fight the flesh and blood, but we're supposed to fight the principalities of hell. And the flesh and blood, again, that we can fight is only our own body, to control us so that it will not control us, my beloved. Well, this is serious. It's a serious work we have to do to be able to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Because again, the Lord tells us that we have to exert ourselves to make it to heaven. But of course we have to believe that there is such a thing as heaven and that there is such a thing as hell. And if we don't believe it, then we're not going to strive for it. And majority of the world today are not interested in the kingdom of heaven. They're all interested in only in the temporary, my beloved. And our Lord and the heavenly dwellers are so much praying all the time. The heavenly dwellers are praying to the Lord. The Lord is always ready there to guide us and to accept us. If we repent of the sins and if we lean towards Him, He is going to, if He sees that we're trying to go after Him, He's going to come towards us and help us and take us in His embrace and in His grace and lead us into the kingdom of heaven, my beloved. But we have to have that will. We have to want that. And if we don't want it, we're not going to get it. And the only way we can prove to the Lord that we really want it, if we're going to strive to live according to the gospel. Listen to the gospel. Look at what it says there. Try to follow the teachings of the Lord. Do exactly what it says. Forgive your enemies. Not only forgive them, love them. Love your brothers. Know that if we say that we love God, if we have a hatred in our heart for any brothers or anybody in the world, that means the love of God is not in us. Our God is God of love, and He loves everybody, and He wants everybody to be saved, to become to the truth, to knowledge of truth, and to be saved. My beloved, accept the truth. Accept the truth that this life is a very, very short life, and compared to the eternities, maybe it's just a split of a second, and that we have to strive to make it to the kingdom of heaven, so that we can join in Abraham and Lazarus and all the saints, all the heavenly dwellers. They're so waiting for us because they have love, they have God's love, and they're always praying for us. And that's what you and me have to learn, to pray for us, for each other, not just for oneself, but for each other, for your close ones, for even those who are not so close with you, but we our heart has cannot be as a stone. If we have to have a soft heart, that we have to feel the joy of our brothers or sisters and rejoicing with them. We have to feel also their suffering and then co-suffer with them. This is a must. Our heart must be living, not a stone, not dead as a stone and just be selfish and thinking of oneself. My beloved, once the heart gets soft in us, once we are able then to love the Lord, we automatically will start to love our soul more than our body, and automatically our heart will go out for every soul that are here on this earth, and even those who are not on this earth anymore that left this earth, and we will plead as if we are pleading for our own salvation. We will plead for their salvation. We will beg the Lord to forgive all of us, to forgive our sins, and to bring us all into the kingdom of heaven, so that we'll be able to rejoice in the presence of acknowledging His presence and feeling His presence, as those the saints have done already on this earth. They felt the God's presence and they were able to rejoice and had the joy of God's presence even on this earth. But there in the kingdom of heaven, there will be a joy that will be never ending, and the joy of not only being with our Lord and the Theotokos, Mother of God, and all the angels and archangels and principalities and all the beautiful saints. They will all be as one heart that loves the Lord and loves each other. And that's what we should strive for. Amen.